is Pastor Chris, and I appreciate the opportunity to fellowship with you again this morning, even though it's by video. As you're aware, Greta and I are still recovering from COVID, so we've been quarantined. She actually is released today. I won't be able to be released until Wednesday, but we're doing much better, as you can see on the video, and you have evidence that I am doing well. Of course, Greta is as well. So we're just thankful that God has brought us through this, gave us what we needed, and took care of us as we passed through this valley. Looking forward to getting back to work as soon as possible. This week, I wanted to continue this series that I had started about I Love My Church. And I wanted to talk with you this week about why it is that God has called us to be in community and why He's called us to be into a part of a church family. You see, the community plays both very vital upfront ways that we have to be in community, as well as very subtle ways. And then there's also the things that happen to us, which is that we sometimes encourage and subtly sabotage this community in ways in which we don't even know. What I hoped to do today was to have some fencing to bring in to show you, to sort of make my point. But fencing is something I want you to think about right now. Wooden plank fencing is something that you've seen, I'm sure, all over our area. There's all kinds of fences to keep animals in, wood fences, there's metal fences, there's decorative fences, there's just all kinds. When you type in a search on the internet, you get almost 100 different types of fencing, and I'm sure that there's well over 100 if you look at the different manufacturers and branding. But it comes in all shapes and all sizes and all kinds of styles. Some are short, some are small, and some are transparent. Some are walls of a fortress that you couldn't penetrate if you wanted to. But in every case, what is a fence designed to do? It's designed to keep something in or to keep something out. And so you can see behind me that I'm taping this today in my study at home, and Greta's and I study at the parsonage, and it reminded me of a story. You know, we grew up, and there was a fence that was put up between the one neighbor and my dad. My stepfather was a little bit of a hoarder, and so he had this one area back by a barn, and he just put everything in there. And so the neighbor wanted to have that fence put up, so that they could keep, not have to look out their kitchen window, I guess, and see all of Dad's stuff that he thought that he would need, different pieces of whatever that he would go and gather. So when I was growing up, we had this fence, and there was an area, you know, that went around the perimeter of that backyard. And, you know, the front yard, we kept it really nice, and everything was always neat, and Mom had her peony flowers that were out there. There was all the flower gardens that Grandma Lyons would make. And this was the same way even at my grandparents in the Davis side. I would go to Grandma Jean's, Grandpa George's. She always had the beautiful flowers. The front porch was always so beautiful. But then on the other side of that fence, things were just a little bit slightly different. The grass was cut, but maybe not as often as the front yard. And our toys and bikes were kept in the back, and just a lot of our swings and different things were kept in the back up on the hill. And, you know, my parents preferred us to play back there, so they knew where we were. And they had our picnic table back there. We'd have our meals back there sometimes. We had a dog, and try as hard as you could, you still had to watch where you stepped, because this was the backyard. So this fence that we had up was a separation between the two spaces. It was the barrier between the front, which everyone was allowed to see, and the back, which is where we live. And same thing in our houses. If you think about your yard, sometimes you'll go and you'll find people that have their entire yard fenced in so that people can't see what's going on in there. In our case, as I said, what brought it to my mind was obviously when you come to our house, you see a much different part of our home. Most of you have not been in my study. I think maybe just a couple of your first counseling sessions or something, but most folks come and they are in the living room, they're in the kitchen, they're on the front porch or wherever, but there's an area of the house, which you are getting to see now, that is usually not kept up the greatest. It's kept up, but it's just not something that we really worry about as much as we might other places in the house. And you see, there's this fence idea. This fence, that's the separation between the two spaces. It's a barrier between the front, which everyone is allowed to see, and the back, which is where we live. And so as we're continuing this series, I Love My Church, I want you to understand this concept, because this concept of a fence is going to play a big part in what we're going to see today in the scripture in Hebrews chapter 10, verses 19 through 25. And we're going to see that his plan for the church is that we would live connected lives. God wants us to live connected with him, most importantly, and connected with one another. And God wants us to know the true community. He wants to understand what it is that we really are like. And so what offenses have to do that with that? And that's what we're going to talk about today. Let's look at Hebrews chapter 10, verses 19 through 25. The Bible says, and you're going to have to read the Bibles this time again, because with the video playing, there's no way to put that up on the screen. So this is what the Word of God says. Therefore, brethren, since we have confidence to enter the holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which he inaugurated for us through the veil, that is, his flesh. And since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a sincere heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who has promised is faithful. And let us consider how to stimulate one another to love and good deeds, not forsaking our own assembling together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. May God bless the reading of his word. Before I unpack this, let's go back to our fence. Let's picture our lives as a yard. If a lot of us were honest, we admit that we like a good fence. We are comfortable showing people and letting people know about us and letting them think our front lawn and trying to keep that front lawn as pristine as possible. Nicely manicured, to have a beautiful grass, a nice welcome mat at the front door. For decorative purposes only though, don't wipe your feet on those. And the front yard is what we show people. But the backyard, that's different. That's the real us. And getting in there is by invite only. In fact, I'm going to build a fence because I'm not sure I want you to know what's going on with me. I don't want you to see the parts of my life that aren't so pristine. I don't want you to step in the dog piles. I'm not sure if we can have a meal together because the backyard is private. The backyard is me. Everything in the front of the house is perfectly presented, but the back of the house, behind this fence, it's where the true us resides. This is the yard of our lives. And so here's the deal about fences. God is not a big fan of them. Okay, I'm going to tell you, he doesn't have a problem with having a literal fence around our literal house. Please don't leave here today and tear down your actual fence. But as far as being in relationship with him and being in community with each other, God wants us to rethink our fences. If we intend to love our church the way God wants us to, then we have to, number one, know that Jesus crashed the fence. And this is another reason, one of the reasons why I love Jesus in this way, because he just really lets you know that what you're doing is right or wrong, and he doesn't really think about the damage that it's going to cause to the bad things in our lives, because he knows that in the end it's going to be a great result. So before we even talk about the fence that we put between us and people, you need to realize, and I have to realize, that the barrier that we have put up between God and us, that there is a barrier between us and God. And the first part of our Hebrews passage tells us, in verses 19 through 22, therefore, brethren, since we have confidence to enter the holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and loving way which he inaugurated for us through the veil, that is his flesh, and since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a sincere heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. You see, the author is talking about the fact that because of Jesus, we now have a way to come back to God. So you remember in the Old Testament all the times where only the high priest could go into the Holy of Holies once a year. And there was all kinds of cleansing and all kinds of sacrifices that had to be made. And then Jesus came. And he says that he is now our high priest. And so what he actually did was this, you know, take a sledgehammer and smash this fence that has been obliterating and it has been between you and I, God. And so God destroyed the fence between him and us. And what we do is now we attempt to build fences between ourselves and others. Because Jesus is our great high priest and has crashed the fence, the veil separating us from God, that veil that was in the high priest temple, that holy of holies, is gone. And so we are able to confidently draw near to him. Crashing the fence is as easy as admitting we need it, that we can't live life on our own. We'll never make it into his presence with the fence separating us. If you admit those things, the Roman letter, the Roman road, gives us even more of the details behind our Hebrew passage. If you look at Romans 3:23, you see the Bible, the Word of God, actually say we all have a giant fence. In Romans chapter 6, verse 23, it says, because of that fence, we'll never get to God. In Romans chapter 5, verse 8, it says that God knew that we'd have a big fence before we even had a yard. That means when you were born, immediately there was a fence between you and him. And in Romans 10, 9 and 10, it says, if we just admit that we have that fence and that we need it torn down, that Jesus will crash that fence for us. And in Romans 10, 13, it says he never denies a fence crashing job, ever. So there's no fence too high. There's no fence too big. There's no type of material that he can't crash, that he can't remove. You see, we're born building fences, walls, and structures to hide, protect, and confine who we really are, to keep us separated from God. We're born into sin. That's our first fence, which keeps us from true community with him. And it's only when we admit our failing, realize and accept that Jesus on the cross has crashed the fence of sin. And only because of that can we have this relationship with God. Can we truly be in community with him? Have you ever drawn near to God? Have you ever acknowledged what Jesus has done on the cross and allowed him into your life? All of it. The front yard and the backyard. You see, Jesus came. And he lived a life as a human being. And he proved that he was God here for the sole purpose of saving humanity. He wanted all of us, not just the Jews, but the Gentiles, every person, to know who he was, to know about God the Father. He wanted them to know that God loved them. And all they would have to do is accept and understand that he was who he was, that he was God the Father, that he was Jesus Christ, the human, that he came and he lived in our flesh. He took on all of the sin that you and I have committed and all of those who have come before us and will come after us. Sin can be completely removed if only we will accept it. And once we accept it, if we confess it with our mouth and with our hearts and with our minds, and we do that by turning away from the sin and moving forward and following him. Realize that the barrier between you and Jesus has been crashed by him on the cross. Surrender your life to him, drawing near to him in relationship and close to him in community. And that brings us to the second thing, and that's this: allow others into your yard. We come into this building where you are right now and where I am most of the days of the week for a few hours. We come into this building. We sing songs, we play games with kids, and sometimes we eat, and we smile, and we say good morning, but we do it all from behind a fence. And you might be thinking, but I just thought that you said Jesus broke down the fence, and the reality is he did. For every single one of us, Jesus has broken down the fence and made a way possible for us to be with God. So how does that impact us as people? And I mean people as us in the plural, as a community. Well, imagine all of mankind standing before a fence of sin, and it just comes tumbling down when Jesus died on the cross. So when I draw near to God and become his follower, there's not a fence anymore. And when you draw near to God, become his follower, there's not a fence anymore, which means that there's no fence in existence in the community of God. There shouldn't be. But what we do is we start taking wood and building up a fence between others and ourselves. And we take those pieces of the fence that Jesus smashed apart and we build them back up to create our own little area where we can feel safe and secure and have our own little place. You see, even though Jesus crashed our fence, we still want people only to see the pretty parts of our yard. We don't want them to see our laundry, clean or dirty, hanging on the clothesline in the back. And so we keep building those walls. We keep very beautiful tabs on what parts of our estate people are allowed to walk. We are so good at building fences. You know, we've seen that story recur so many times in history. You know, think about the Wild West. They went out into a place that was completely unknown by at least Caucasians. People in the European communities have never been there before. And what do? They put up fences to declare, this is mine and that's yours. And this is what I have and this is what you don't. And so don't forget what we said last week. It's truly, if we're truly going to experience loving our church, then that means intentionally loving our church. And that's not loving our building and not loving our programs. You see, if we intentionally love our church, that means loving each other. And loving each other is impossible to do from behind a fence. Let me tell you, it's hard for me to try to hug you through this computer screen. It's hard for you to be able to give me the love that I need and that I want through the separations through a fence or through a door. So what do? With all the fences that we've erected, myself included, you know, they're not that I want all of you to come walking into my office, but, you know, really there's no part of my life that I can't have completely private to hide from because we are in community together. It's hard to truly know how to love each other if there are fences all around us. And so thank goodness Paul gives us the perfect prescription. He says this. He says, do not forsake assembling together. Now, this is a passage that preachers have used for years to guilt their congregants into coming to church every Sunday. But it means so much more to me. It means so much more to you. In reality, what Paul was talking about was something bigger. Sunday, yes, but also something more than Sunday. He's talking about an everyday assembly. He's talking about life together. He's talking about living in community. Community means we don't build fences. Community means we head below the surface. Community means authenticity. It means that we share ourselves with others, a deeper relationship than we can have sitting in our pews in this large room while I or someone else speaks to you. Community means standing in someone's yard and allowing them to stand in mine. Both of our dirty, stinky, unkept yards with all the toys strewn everywhere and weeds not pulled and the shed that desperately needs repainting. You remember Wilson from Tim's neighbor in Home Improvement? One of my, I've shown, I know this picture before as part of a sermon series, but Tim's family had an next-door neighbor, Tim Allen. His family had an next-door neighbor named Wilson, and nearly the entire series, this is all we ever saw, was Wilson's face from about here over the fence. So you never got to see any of the rest of his body. Now, Taylor's lived next door to Wilson for years, yet they never saw his face. And sometimes it's like that for church folks. We sit in pews with people. We serve on committees and boards together. We may even enjoy the Bible study with one another. But we never see someone's whole face. We only get a glimpse of them from behind our fences. Jim Doe is standing on the other side of this fence. Maybe we see his face, maybe we don't. It doesn't matter at the end of the day. There's still a fence between us. I can't embrace him in a family tragedy if he's standing on the other side of the fence. He can't really see what's happening over here when my wife and I are having his back. Why? Because the fence impedes our community. We have to get into the yard to fully know someone. Not forsaking our own assembling together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see that the day drawing near, it says in verse 25. Whose yard are you in? Who are you allowing into your yard? And maybe this takes place for you through Sunday school, Bible studies. Maybe you're a part of one of our women's groups, or our student ministry that we're starting to take off, or our youth or kids ministry. Possibly you just allowed a few people to see past your fences. And maybe it's not in any formalized ministry of our church. Maybe some of you are just Facebook followers. Maybe you've only been a part of our upper program or using our building as part of your youth group activities or your community group. You know, we have well over 400 people during a normal wintertime month come through our building and use our facility through the month here at Liberty Baptist. And we are so thankful for those opportunities. But what we want to do is use those opportunities to encourage you to develop and to share who you are and us to share who we are, so that the light of Christ could be brought forward in your life and in ours. We also need to be sensitive to introverts. Some people like to stick around after mingling, or it's easy to for them to be in a large group of people. Other people aren't that way, and God created them that way. So we got to be sensitive to that, but we have to create environments where fences are not permitted or where they're not created. You see, if you're truly going to experience not only the church, but also your life the way God intended it, then you can't live behind a fence. And so to truly love your church, you have to love someone in your church. And this doesn't mean that everyone transforms into super social extroverts. What it means is that we don't live in isolation. Community is standing in someone's yard. It means you stand in someone else's yard, and you enjoy the company. Imagine being a kid going to a birthday party where the host didn't plan anything. You ever been to one of those? There might be a bag of plain potato chips on the table and some weak Kool-Aid that they've watered down too much, but more kids showed up than what they had hoped for. No games, no desserts, no face painting, no pen the tail of the donkey, nothing. That would be one boring dull party, wouldn't it? You'd leave that place thinking they didn't even try. Hebrews says in verse 24, let us consider how to stimulate one another to love and good deeds. This is what we're talking about. This is what church is supposed to be. This is what we strive for in our boards and our committees of liberty. You see, to consider that Paul is talking about is to contemplate, to strategize. So think of it as planning for a successful birthday party. Living life in one another's yards without fences is going to take not only intentionality, but also a strategy. Community is finding ways to encourage one another to love and good deeds beyond church programming and sermons. It's seeing beyond the walls and the fences that we have built and that have been built in the future, and offering to help paint the shed or pull the weeds or babysit the kids of our neighbor or our friend or who's sitting beside the pews today. It's having those go-to numbers in your cell phone when you break down. When you break down up here at the Mill Hall Walmart, or maybe you go to up to State College and you're at the Nittany Valley Mall and you can't get your car to start. It's having a number, somebody in your phone that when you break down that you know that you can call. It's knowing who to call when you want to go on a double date. Maybe you want to go out with another family, another young couple. It's inviting someone over for dinner. It's teaming up when we have a church service project, working alongside your friends. It's enjoying one another, helping one another, each other to enjoy serving Jesus in the time that we have left. According to Hebrews, that's what he said. And the thing is, these things don't happen automatically. They happen when we consider how to make them happen. And so I'm going to suggest some points of strategy as we look at our church family. First, have healthy expectations. An unhealthy expectation is that we all know everyone, that every single person will be best friends with everyone in here, and that's just not realistic. A healthy expectation is that you can build, I can build, some great connections throughout community, great friendships with some, and deep relationships with a few of you. And these will all take time, but we have to have a healthy goal in mind. The second thing I want you to realize, and part of the strategy, is realize baby steps are okay. Let's be clear. Living with fences doesn't mean that you are going to let every single person into the most personal parts of your life the first day you meet them. And that's not the goal in any sense that I'm talking about. You see, at first, maybe we'll be hanging out in the front yard with people, and then we'll invite them in the living room, and then we'll have a meal in the backyard, and then it's going to take time before you get invited into my office. You won't let everyone in, but you need to work toward letting someone in at some point. And the third thing is take some ownership. You see, realize this is everyone's job, not everyone else's job. We all need to work at it. If you're sitting down waiting for someone to come to you and you're sitting in the wrong spot, on a scale between 1 and 10, with 1 being the lowest and 10 the highest, how much effort are you putting into connecting with others? What would you do to raise your number by 1 or 2 levels in the next couple of months? As we leave this morning, love your church. Know Jesus has crashed the fence. Allow someone into your yard. Enjoy the company. And start considering how you can be connected with others for encouragement and growth. God bless you.
Thank you, Pastor Chris. Good message. I said enjoy order. That's not quite the right word, although we can enjoy them, but be educated and be glorified. Anyways, okay. Invitation hymn. If there's anybody here, I don't think, but if there's anybody here that doesn't know Jesus, please come forward and online reach out to us if you need to break down those fences and join this family. Please stand and join me in invitation hymn number 705, It Is Well With My Soul.
Let this blessed assurance control.